Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Well, it says that I'm connected. And it's reacting to my voice.
Okay.
And it's reacting to your voice, too. Say hello.
Hello. Welcome in.
All right. I'm rolling with it.
Woo! False start. Good morning. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. We're going to try this again. We were live. Not live. We were sitting here in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios for about 10 minutes, ranting and raving, riffing on the Joe Gaither Show to no one. So let's restart here on a Wednesday. Here we go. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. There we go. How we doing today on this wonderful Wednesday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Yes, there are viewers in the corner this time. Thank you. Goodness gracious. We're live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios just off of McFarland Boulevard. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We've already had a little fun. We're going to try to recreate those first 5-6 minutes and then get rolling on the show today. We invite you to jump in and join us on the Bama Central YouTube show channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page, on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6. You can find us right there. Leave us a comment, question, query, or complaint. Or you can leave us a voicemail if you'd like, 205-462-7340. We would love to take your voicemail on the show about anything you want to talk about. We talked... Oh, my gosh, yesterday. What was yesterday? I'm drawing a blank now that after we restarted.
It feels like a blur now. We talked, I think we talked a little bit of draft, talked Titans draft, talked a little Cam Ward. I got to wax poetic about how the Tennessee
That's
Titans
right.
will win
That's
the Super
right.
Bowl this season.
We looked at the 2026 NFL draft. We looked at the first rounders and who might, you know, is Caden Proctor going to be a first round pick? Yeah.
Is Ty Simpson in line with those quarterbacks?
This resets me a little bit. All right, there we go. All right, I was out of sorts for just a second, and here we go. So that's what we did yesterday. Talking about first round draft picks, we're going to keep going talking football. We're going to talk about the depth chart that I drew up last night on the Bama Central homepage. There we go. We need a Rey Mysterio appearance from Everett Osborne. See, that's how we know we're live. If Everett comments, yeah. Everett, we were on talking 5-10 minutes just to no one. So we apologize. Thank you for commenting on the Facebook page. Rey Mysterio actually undergoing some surgery on a knee. Not so good.
We need to get like a Rey Mysterio cameo. That's what we need to do. He's got to be on there.
Absolutely. I bet you he'll say, "You're listening to the Joe Gaither Show."
That'd be sweet.
That'd be great, actually. Now that I think about that, next sponsorship dollars are going to a Rey Mysterio cameo. All right, what are we going to do today on a Wednesday? We're going to talk depth chart. I wrote depth chart for BamaCentral.com, a way too early Alabama football depth chart that you guys can check out. We're going to walk right through it. Mason's going to tell me what I got wrong. You're going to tell me what I got right. And we're going to talk about maybe some guys that I slotted a little lower than should be, some guys that will be contributing more than maybe they are on the depth chart. We'll talk about that. We will talk about Nick Saban and the news in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. Goodness gracious, is going to be a crazy day in Tuscaloosa, so we will reserve that conversation for the back end of the show if you want to participate on that. Nick Saban speaking at commencement along with President Donald J. Trump and President Stuart Bell and Katie Britt. So that'll kind of close our show today. But with that, oh, goodness gracious, yeah, we're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Yeah, we're checking everything off here and restarting. 205-758-3391 for all your insurance needs. Call them home, life, auto insurance needs. Red Reese and Victoria are upstairs right now. They'd love to take your phone call. 205-758-3391. Easiest way to get involved is be like, hey, I want you to run a quick quote on my car insurance, and they can see if they can save you some money, up your coverage, give you local coverage. That's the most important part. Somebody in town that can take care of your needs. 205-758-3391. Call and see how much Derek can save you today. All right, Mason, back at it. Here, we restarted. Good morning. And why don't you tell us about these recruiting scoops?
Sure. Before I do have a bit of unfortunate news.
Oh, no.
The WWE has urged its talent not to use Cameo any longer. So it may be out of the cards for us. We may have to... Maybe we get a retired wrestler. Who knows?
They want that money.
Yeah, that is what it is. It worth noting also, it looks like Rey Mysterio was charging $500 for a cameo
prior to them
urging their talent to no longer do it. But yes, the recruiting, like you mentioned, I did get to...
I'm so sorry,
no,
man.
No, that's fine. Hey,
we were rolling like 10 minutes.
It was good. Hey, it's okay. You can read about it on Bama Central. Got to write about it yesterday. Story went live. Two of Alabama's top targets, probably two of the top three or four targets in the entire class for them. Running back Xavier Crowell, five-star, and five-star athlete prospect Brandon Arrington, making some updates to their recruiting schedules. Xavier Crowell, like I had previously said on this show, did officially announce that he is no longer going to be committing on December 31st this year. This is a guy that was in town for A-Day. I did get to meet him on A-Day, you know, haven't been able to get in contact with him anything for any updates on this story. You know how these recruits go, they don't necessarily want to talk to him, most of us, but it's okay. But yeah, this is he's picked up a lot of predictions to be committing to Alabama, so I thought it was kind of only a matter of time before he either announced a new commitment date altogether or at least said I will not be waiting until the end of the year, and looks like we got that. So he took to Twitter yesterday, made the announcement he's not going to be committing at the end of this year. It will be we don't know when it's going to be, but I have to imagine it's coming pretty soon. And then Arrington, yeah, a five-star athlete. You know, when we were going last time, you asked me, like, has Travis Hunter poisoned the mind of the youth into thinking that everyone can play both ways? I do think he has to an extent, but Brandon Arrington, I think, is one of those guys who can play both ways. He's been extremely explosive on both sides of the ball, very productive from both corner and wide receiver. You know, I think he's like 6'1", 6'2", kind of a slender, lankier guy, but he's extremely fast. He holds the California sophomore class record for the 200 meter, I believe. So just a really dynamic prospect, I think, can do a lot for you no matter which side of the ball he decides to play on, or if it's both sides of the ball, we will see. You know, hopefully he will be committing on July 5th. I guess get to the point of my story here. I forgot where I was even headed with
it's,
that.
It's my fault for jacking up the first part of it.
So he announced yesterday he'll be committing on July 5th. I think he's picking between, I want to say it was Georgia, Texas A&M, USC, Oregon, and Alabama. I think those were his final five. We will see. He did just take a trip to Oregon that looked like it went pretty well for him. He was tweeting about it a lot. Seemed pretty happy with it.
Oh, Phil Knight dropped a little money in his pocket.
I think he might have. So we'll see on him. But, you know, as of, I think, February of this year, it was being reported that Alabama was the school to beat for him. So, you know, it's always fluid with recruiting. You just never know. I do think Alabama is still a top contender for, you know, for his commitment.
How far away are we? I just counted. You got 10 wide receivers and 6 cornerbacks on the Alabama roster. How far away are we from Kalen DeBoer recruiting 16 two-way players in 2028? And nobody has a position. We just, hey, you go cover this time and you go run routes this time, we're just going to jack over all the game plans up.
Yeah, this is like 5D chess. Like, how would you game plan if you have no idea who's going to be on the field?
Well, Charlie might run a fly route, and Billy might run a slant route, but Billy might also play cornerback.
You never know.
Billy's weakness at cornerback is press coverage, so we're going to have to get up on him. Like, you'd have so many game plans in your head. Well, coach, what's number 10's weaknesses and strengths?
Yeah, that would be.
What's 15's strengths? Like, you'd just be confusing them.
I mean, let's go even further. We have two-way offensive defensive linemen.
That's a little far for me.
I mean, this would be like, it'd be impossible. Positionless football. That's what we're moving to.
Kalen DeBoer, you can do this. We believe in you. We believe in you. Oh, so on the Travis Hunter stuff, Brandon Arrington. Oh, goodness gracious. I was so lost. Number two overall. No, two or three?
Travis Hunter?
Two. Yeah.
Two.
Will the Jaguars use him both ways in the NFL?
I think so. I am not an NFL coach. I do not know.
That just seems crazy. I'm not saying you're wrong. It just seems crazy.
But I think so. I think he will be used sparingly on defense. I would imagine most of his reps will come on the offensive end, not only for, you know, kind of protecting your investment there by not making him play defense, but also I think he will probably be a bit more impactful if he plays more offense. That being said, I think they will use him in certain packages on defense where it's basically just, hey, go get us a turnover, go intercept, go do what you do really well, which you did at Colorado a lot, go pick the ball off. Like, I don't see him being a every down, lockdown kind of corner in the NFL, but I certainly think there are opportunities for him out there if a team wants to, kind of design packages. They're not even necessarily like design packages specifically for him, just, hey, we need a fifth defensive back on the field. Get out there, Travis.
Everett Osmer chimes in again. For tomorrow, we can park at Bama Central headquarters and then walk, right? We don't have headquarters. We don't have any headquarters, but you can park here at the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We got a couple chairs if you want to come check us out, if you want to do that. Oh, my goodness. I was going to go somewhere else with Travis Hunter. Oh, yeah. Will we see Jalen and Bakwe play both sides in the same game this year?
I don't think so.
I think we'll see spurts of one or the other in games. Will we see it in the same game?
I'm not even convinced that we'll see him play defense at all. I think he just wants to play. I think he just wanted to play receiver, and Alabama was like, we want you to play defensive back, buddy, so we'll let you just do both ways. How's that? That was kind of the compromise there. I don't know. But that seemed like it maybe to me. He wants to play receiver more than he wants to play defensive back. And again, I don't know Jalen Abakwe. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody on the team. That's just kind of what it seems like from an outside perspective to me, maybe. I don't think we'll see him doing the Travis Hunter thing at all this year. Where it's same game. He's playing 40 snaps on each side of the ball. Like you said, I think if anything, you'll see a handful of plays out of the whole season where he's going to get thrown in on defense, and it'll be like, we need a crap ton of defensive backs out there with, last play of the game, everybody's going to the goal line type thing. I think he'll be mostly used on offense, and even that, I'm not not super sure how much that's going to be.
All right. You want to talk about this depth chart?
Let's look at it.
All right. So yesterday, the inspiration here was I'm scrolling around my files and seeing the 2024 depth chart in my files. We need to start building the 25 depth chart because the transfer portal window has closed. Mason Woods, we ranted and raved. I called it a bigger win than the Iron Bowl on Monday's program. You weren't here, but no one, not a single scholarship player leaving. No defections for the Crimson Tide.
I mean, this might be bigger than any single regular season game or any football game outside of a championship game. Setting up your program for so much future success by not having to play the transfer portal game, by not having to scramble around in crucial recruiting periods to go find other guys because half your team just abandoned you. It is, I don't think we can really overstate how incredibly, I don't even have the right word for it. It's just, I've said this a month. It's just completely unheard of. You are not seeing this with any other program across the country, at least from what I've seen. It's just not something that it is so out of the ordinary for college football now. I really think we need to, Bama fans need to really recognize, this is a massive, massive accomplishment for Kalen DeBoer
something that Nick Saban was never able to do.
Yeah, and I think it's deeper. I don't think they just went around the roster and said 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. Yeah, I don't think that they just went right through and just said raise for everybody. Now you're happy. Good. We'll see you in the fall. Mm-hmm. Some of that might have happened here and there. But I think it was much more making the players feel involved through spring. You know, you guys probably were upset with our coverage through the spring, but I'm sorry for that, but the reason for that, the catalyst for that, it was the coaching staff. And this is not a problem. I'm not hating on you, coaches. You're doing your job. Mm-hmm. The catalyst is the coaching staff making everybody feel like you're not the wide receiver one. Everybody's the wide receiver one. Everybody's the tight end one. Everybody's the left tackle one. I know you all see Caden Proctor sitting on the sideline doing the bike because he's recovering from shoulder, ankle surgery. But everybody's getting a chance to play left tackle. And maybe, Caden, you know, you just make everybody feel involved. You make everybody feel important. And maybe that's a completely – maybe that perspective is completely inaccurate, but that's my perspective. I think that he's got – especially as I'm building this depth chart last night, I'm thinking, well, the couple times where I was out there, he was up front, then he was up front, then he was up front, then he was up front. Then so who am I going to pick up front? And so there was a lot of projection in my depth chart. But I think it really, money aside, which I do think we're not ignorant. I think money was a factor for sure. They're all getting paid fine. They're all getting paid better than I am, which is okay. It's not a complaint. I'm getting paid well. Thank you. I am getting paid well. But they're getting paid fine. I think that you remove the financial impact when I feel like I'm going to practice and I'm getting reps. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to practice and I'm involved. I feel like I'm going to practice and, man, coach saw me when I took that false step. And he came over, and whether it was, nah, 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 and that makes me feel bad, or come on, Joe, whatever the coaching style is, he saw my false step and I'm now getting a little bit better. Like,
I think the team is really bought in. I think they're really bought into what's happening.
Am I just drunk on Crimson Kool-Aid? Because I just think that they all can contribute in some way.
There's really like only one, you know, one thing you can look at, and it is the turnover rate in the transfer portal. You know, how many players are you losing to the transfer portal between the two openings?
Did you see, if you read the article that I wrote, I had to look it up, because I wanted to be accurate. The winter window and spring window, 3,200 athletes. Now, not all of it was in the last 10 days. It's both windows. Yeah. It is both windows. But use your brains, people. 3,200 athletes. How many did Alabama lose in the winter?
That's what I'm trying to pull up.
You're going to find it. It's probably 18 or so, 20 or so. It's under the comings and goings under football in Bama Central. But 3,200 and zero from Alabama. It is absurd. It is absurd. I'm moved because I think that.
Like, you had 25 total transfers.
Yeah, it's just unusual. And so let's look at this depth chart. What is it? We're going to start offense, then we'll look defense, and then we'll talk Nick Saban. What you want to start with, Mason? What's your favorite offensive position?
Let's start with the big uglies up front.
Yeah, let's do it, because that was the place where I was the most confused.
I feel like there's a lot of fluidity there, man.
Sure, sure. So on BamaCentral.com, you can follow along with us if you like, but we got left tackle. Perfect. That's perfect. I just got a text moving something. All right, you got left tackle. Look, we all know Caden Proctor. You're going to start at left tackle.
Might be the number one overall pick, apparently.
Maybe. And I don't think that's that crazy. If you play well and the team goes to the playoffs, great.
Tackles are supremely valuable in the NFL. Mm.
But what are you doing behind behind Caden? That's my biggest question. That's my biggest question, because I think that Olasa Lennon can play left tackle serviceably, but I think he's better suited in other spots. You've heard rumblings about Arkell and Uglum kind of coming along a little bit, but do you trust that? I don't know. Would you would you say, oh no, Caden's hurt, Wilkin, you got to flip over, you're playing left now, because it's the most important position on the offensive line. You got to make it right, and if you got to move Wilkin, like, what are you doing past Caden Proctor? Is it, oh, well, Jackson Lloyd, you are a beast. Micah DeBose, you're a beast. Michael Carroll, you are a stud as well. Mason, what do you think is happening past Caden Proctor, left tackle?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to call. I'm generally not a huge fan of the, oh, our top guy's down, let's move another starter over to that, because then, you know, you're just shifting guys into spots they're not necessarily comfortable playing, and it kind of, I feel like that maybe ends up messing things up more in the end. So I would probably, you know, if it was me, I would leave Wilkin at right tackle. You know, knock on wood, God forbid Caden goes down with an injury, I think I would want to leave Wilkin at right tackle, because I think he's going to be a very good right tackle.
I do too.
And I think he's very comfortable there. I don't know that he's necessarily got the athleticism to play left side. You know, I don't know that he's quite probably quick right. enough on his feet.
Probably right.
So I would probably feel better about, and, you know, I know Arkell Enugwum is a bit of a developmental guy that, you know, is kind of a high ceiling, don't really know what he is. I would probably just feel better about throwing him out there and rolling the dice on the potential than I would about throwing Wilkin over there. I like Olasolin, and I think, like you said, he's probably more suited on the inside, but has enough experience, has enough time in the program that I think he would be serviceable.
I think Olas might be your most important second. Like, whether if he wins the left guard job, okay, great. But Olas, man, I think he's extremely important for Alabama because of the fact that I think he can play both. I think he can play all five positions on the line. Is he one of the best five linemen on the team? I don't know. I think Olas might be your move there. And then if he's playing left guard, you kick him out and you replace the left guard with Gino or
who
Cam.
Is already a backup guard anyway. And yeah, I feel okay with that. I think that way you're not really having to move anybody to a spot where they're not necessarily comfortable, because like you said, Olas, he's been here long enough. I think they've developed him to be able to play multiple roles, because it's kind of just the spot he's been in where it's like, all right, we got you. If somebody gets hurt, we're going to need you, buddy. You know, so I would feel better about throwing him out.
Olasolun in future left tackle after Caden Proctor is drafted first overall.
Yeah, that'd be something.
That would surprise me, but maybe. I mean, I wouldn't say it's impossible.
Yeah, I would say even if he wins that left guard job, probably move him to tackle, let Gino take over the guard, or like you said, Cam Dewberry as well. You still got him from Texas A&M. That'd probably be the best bet. I like Olaus.
This left guard spot's the most intriguing spot on the offensive line, because we just saw Tyler Booker go first round. And I don't know what in the world you're going to do right here. Really.
Really kind of feels like any of these guys could start.
Yeah, I think that... Does Gino Vandermark win the job based on experience in college and based on reliability? Does Olasolun, has he developed enough? I mean, you heard a lot of positivity about him this spring.
You've definitely seen the physical transformation, just like from an outsider perspective. You know, we got to be up close and personal with him at A-Day, and like remembering looking at the pictures of him when he first signed to now, it's a very noticeable physical change.
And Cam Dewberry and Rock Montgomery, I think Rock is an underrated player on this offensive line. Man, I would not like to be Chris Kapilovich, because I think you've got a lot of talent in this
offense to feed here.
Yeah, and a lot of guys who are, oh, I'm a highly rated XYZ, I'm a highly rated ABC, you know, who expect to be getting opportunities. Man, so if I'm Kapilovich, with only seeing the 35, 40 minutes of practice that we saw through spring. Yeah. Maybe it's just me being sentimental, and it is, but I'm starting Olasolun right now.
I like Olas. I'm probably with you on the sentimental, just like I like
getting
the
whole
developed guys that you know have been here the whole time, but I'd probably do it too. If you can, you know, if you're Kapilovic, if you're this coach, if you can just convince these guys to stick around through this season, like things are opening up a whole lot for this offensive line after this season.
Yes.
You know, you get Caden Proctor out of there, you get potentially Parker Brailsford, you get Jaden out of there. Like there's a lot of spots that are opening up. So,
tons.
You know, if you can just kind of keep that on in their mind, like, hey, buddy, just stick around. It's kind of like the opportunities will be there. It's just this year, it's a little bit bogged up.
Yeah, mock draft yesterday, one of them had Jaden Roberts as a first rounder. You get me first round Jaden Roberts, first round Caden Proctor, third round Parker Brailsford. Ooh, that's three empty spots, and that's a really nice piece of recruiting material.
Yeah.
So at center, obviously Parker is going to be starting center. You want to talk about it, center at all? I think center is actually a huge strength because I think Olas will play center as well. I think Gino Vandermark has shown that he is a very capable playing center, and I think Joe Iannotta is a very capable center as well. I think Joe has developed there. And obviously clogged room, but I think that he is a really attentive player, and it is really the kind of player that Alabama fans like.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of guys there that can play the position, but I don't, you know, and again, not in the room, not in the coaching rooms, not in the meetings, but it seems, and I'm pretty sure everybody and their mama on this in and around this program knows, hey, that's Parker Brailsford's job.
Yeah.
I think everyone behind him is comfortable being that second guy, being that third guy, whatever it is, because they know it's Parker Brailsford's job. And you got to feel pretty dang good about Parker Brailsford being your guy there at center. He was excellent last year. I don't know that I can even remember any bad snaps and any botched plays from his
end. Only complaint for Parker this year is you couldn't get a damn helmet, you mother.
Yeah.
Snap your chin strap. Snap it up, buddy.
Yeah. And I think he is at least I don't remember any injury stuff last year. So, I mean, it feels like, you know, he'll probably be good for the whole season. But, again, knock on wood, you got to feel good about what you have behind him also.
He kept having to come off the field because his helmet wouldn't fit his head.
Got to get coached with the air pump. I don't even know if they have those anymore in these high-tech helmets they got.
It's probably a button that they press and
reinflates it.
All right, right guard, you got anything on Jaden Roberts? I think that Jaden Roberts was actually really hurt last year. I would love to find out.
If that were the case.
I would love to find out what he was hurt with.
Yeah. If that were the case, I could certainly see himself playing himself into – I can start that over. I could certainly see him playing himself into a first-round pick because – even if he was if he was dealing with a significant injury last year, he was still pretty dang serviceable when he was on the field. Pretty solid, even at times. I don't think a lot of things were really like you're pointing to Jaden Roberts as it being his fault most of the time. So I would feel, I'm with you. I'd like to know kind of the extent of that injury. Not sure if we ever will, but I guess his play this year will be.
I just need to DM his mama, who's always active on Twitter. Maybe. Right tackle. I think we're in the same spot as left tackle, but not as secure. I am very optimistic about Wilkin Formby and what he will be at right tackle. But once you go behind him, if he is not, you got to play the worst case scenario. If he's not what you want him to be, I'm starting to look a little scared about what's behind him. You can't just bring Caden Proctor and flip him over. Yeah. What you going to do? You're going to have Jackson Lloyd playing right tackle, Michael Carroll, Mal Waldrip. Is that Olas again? Confidence in Wilkin Formby, 1 to 10.
I give it an 8.
Woo-hoo.
I feel good. I like Wilkin a lot. I really like Wilkin. I think similar to Olas, it's just a guy, you know, and again, this is my own bias, probably, but like just a guy that's been here. He has been developed by this program. He has like been forged by Alabama now and feels like been primed to play this position for 2 or 3 years now. I feel confident that he's going to take that job and run with it.
I do too. I think that he's going to own that job for the next 2 years and then go get drafted.
Go down in crimson flame. Like, folks are going to love him some Wilkin Formby by the end of his time here.
They're going to do the draft party at Taco Casa, one of the Taco Casas.
Yeah.
When he's a first rounder, they're going to shut down one of the Taco Casas and host the draft party awesome. Right there. Wilkin, there's your idea right there, buddy.
Yeah, don't go to whatever terrible city they're probably going to put it in next. Like, I don't even know.
I think it's Pittsburgh next. Is that right?
Pittsburgh is okay. It's close enough to the other major cities up there that people can travel. Stop doing it in these weird.
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is obviously much larger city, metropolitan area than Green Bay, but it's still like on the grand scheme of things. What are we doing? Like, let's hit our Chicagos. Let's hit our New Yorks.
Pittsburgh
and
then Denver are the next 2 years.
Denver will be probably cool, honestly.
They're gonna get some guys in trouble in Denver. All right, Mason.
I am glad to see them moving it around. I appreciate that. But just be much. I think they should be a little more selective with maybe where they're putting it.
Well, they were going for the cutesy factor of.
And Steelers are historic. They're doing all this. You know, they're gonna have to listen to so much about
the history of.
We only have three coaches ever.
I get so sick of hearing it. I don't even hate the Steelers, really. I just get tired of hearing it.
It's like, I wish we could operate that way. We did our bear show last night, and like at the very end of it, my co-host, I love him. He goes, "So, what do you have a big problem with in the draft, Joe? Like trying to get positives and negatives?" And I was like, "Brother, I don't, you know, care enough anymore to have a negative." No, that's not true. I do care, but like, I have removed myself and accepted the fact that the Bears are bad. So like, yo, you know, the fourth round linebacker that was a flyer, meh. All right, I'm not gonna sit here and lose their mind over that.
This will change when Caleb Williams wins the first two games of the season. They're 2-0, sitting pretty. What's their schedule?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
Release was is gonna happen. They did the announcement of the announcement of the schedule release. Hey guys, we're going to release the schedule this day. Get ready for it. Like, what?
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. As soon as they look any semblance of competence, I will be back in.
Oh, yeah.
I have been out for the last, since 19.
It's been a while.
Since 19, since for sure. Yeah, 18 was the most fun season of my life, really. And then 19, I was like, this is it. We're doing a Super Bowl. And then it was just like flames and just. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, infrastructure collapse.
At least you didn't get all the way to the, you know, conference championship game and then sack the quarterback 9 times and throw 5 interceptions and lose in horrible fashion.
Oh, the Tanchies.
Tannehill, I'll never forgive you for that game.
And so, yeah, I have been out since then. And it's like,
can't blame you.
Everybody's like, oh, Caleb Williams, are you jumping back in? It's like, yeah, I'm watching a little, but they're still incompetent.
You saw it in flashes last year with Caleb.
Yes.
He didn't put it together a lot, but you saw it in flashes.
He put it together as much as he could, dealing with the nonsense that he was dealing with.
Romo Dunze is going to have a big year this year. Breakout season.
Drives me nuts. All right, I want to talk about wide receivers.
Yes.
I want to talk about wide receivers because that was my next place of like real confusion here when I was setting up this depth chart. You can read this depth chart on BamaCentral.com. I've got Alabama's way too early 2025 depth chart. Obviously, going to change. We're not even to fall camp yet. But nobody else is going to enroll unless you pull some players from the transfer portal. But I think you're about full, especially full in terms of players getting an opportunity. If you're getting any other players right now, it is straight up depth.
Yeah.
It is straight up depth, and good luck, buddy. Mm-hmm. And I hope you accept your role on the fourth team. We appreciate your time. So X, Z, and slot are how we've got our wide receivers here. Here's just a 2-second 101. X receiver on the line opposite the tight end, deals with press coverage, probably your number one. That's your Julio's, that was your Devontae's, that's your Mari Cooper. Okay, Z receiver, same side as the tight end, off the line of scrimmage, a little harder to press, but doesn't have to deal with press as much. And then you know the slot right there in between line of scrimmage and the outside. The reason I had such a hard time with it is because I think that Ryan, Jeremy, and Isaiah will all be playing X, all be playing Z, and all be playing slot.
Yeah, I think so too. I think those guys will be used in all three of those positions completely interchangeably.
Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really know, like, for me, in my brain, if I don't know where to start, I have a really hard time just being like, just keep going.
Yeah.
And so what I ended up doing is I just said, Isaiah Horton, X receiver. I think he's probably your most prototypical X receiver on the team.
Yes.
And when we roll out first week and first game, first formation, Isaiah is going to play the X. Now, the next snap, he might be over at the Z.
No, I agree with you, though. I think he looks the part of an X receiver the most of the bunch.
And I think Jeremy is going to benefit that because I think Jeremy was a fine X last year from time to time. I think Ryan was a fine X from time to time. But I think both of them will benefit from getting a chance to play in the Z and play in the slot. I think Jeremy and Z, and if I were offensive coordinator, Jeremy's in Z and just, I would torture teams with Ryan in the slot.
I think Jeremy plays himself into a first-round pick this year.
Come cover Ryan Williams with your linebacker. Cover Ryan Williams with your strong safety. Like, come do that. Come try. That's what I like. It would be Ryan Williams from one side of the slot to the other. Which outside linebacker? Which wants to cover him. And are you moving it? I'm going to make you move a corner from the outside into the slot where he's not comfortable. And that's going to jack up your your third string corner. Like,
yeah.
The element of Ryan being able to move all over the place is just going to be so lethal.
Yeah, I think just have, and we've talked about a lot, just having three fully competent wide receivers and giving, you know, a guy like Ryan Williams the ability to not have to be a, like, hey, every play I've got to be the option here. He has the opportunity to just move around and get a feel for the defense, shift around, you know, play to play, and just find those wrinkles. And, like, I think that is, you can't even describe how valuable that is for the offense.
All right, so as you look on BamaCentral.com, you'll notice right under X, I've got number two receivers, Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams. I wanted to convey that I think all three receivers will play all three spots and really will be the three starters. So right after that, okay, goodness gracious, I'm kind of scrolling and rolling. Yeah, Isaiah Horton, Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams. I've got Jalen Hale and Derek Meadows playing X behind them.
Yeah.
So I didn't see what Jalen Hale will do. I think Derek Meadows, at least for our A-Day experience, was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think I think we'll see a good amount of rotation between all these receivers. You know, I don't think it's going to be the same. We have three guys. We're using three guys that we've seen, in a lot of years previously. I have to imagine Jalen Hale, Derek Meadows, you know, a lot of these second, third, and fourth guys will be getting opportunities this year, just not a ton of them.
All right, so let's flip to the other side of the ball. Z receiver, like we said, I got Jeremy written as number one, but number two, I have Ryan Williams / Isaiah Horton. Number three and four are fun prospects. I want to see a lot of Rico Scott, but, like, who the heck do you take off the field? I want to see what Jalen Mbakwe does with the ball in his hands, but who the heck do you take take off the field? What do we think we see or find from Rico and Jalen Mbakwe? Will we see a decent amount of them?
I mean, a decent amount, yes. I think, like I was just saying, I do think they'll do a fair amount of rotating with these receivers and getting a lot of guys on the field, because I think it's really valuable just to confuse defenses by getting new guys out there. Hey, this is a new guy. I've got to think about his tendencies. I've got to think about his strengths. I've got to think about his weaknesses. You know, every bit of confusion you can throw out there to a defense is helpful. So I have to imagine that, you know, Rico and Jalen Mbakwe will both get some opportunities this year. And, you know, I don't think either of them are going to be catching 75 passes or anything like that, but a good, you know, 20, 30 receptions, maybe I could see.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go into the slot. And this becomes pretty fun because, yeah, I think Ryan Williams is going to be dangerous in this slot. But when you move Ryan to Z and you take Jeremy off the field, maybe.
And you just bump Lotsier Brooks up there over Cole Adams.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Lotsier Brooks rider.
Go ahead. You can tell me I'm wrong. You can say we're wrong.
I mean, you're probably correct. Based off of just seniority, experience, and things like that, Cole Adams probably gets the nod here early in the season, but I do not think he holds that very long. I think Lotsier is far too electric, far too dynamic, much more so than Cole Adams is, unfortunately. I like Cole Adams as a receiver. I think he's a very reliable target. You know, he just doesn't have what Lotsier has. He doesn't have that same top-end speed, doesn't have the quickness, doesn't have the athleticism. Everybody will know that by, you know, halfway through the year.
Is Cole's role going to be, and I say relegated, but it's still a nice role. Is he going to be relegated to punt returner? Like, hey, buddy, you just the punt returner.
I might. Hey, that's a good spot to be, though. Shoot. You make a lot of money, mate. You make a lot of money as a punt returner.
Show off your skills. Not only get tackled four times a game, times a game.
You get yourself drafted one day, maybe that team decides, hey, you know, this guy's a pretty good receiver, too. There you go. You got you an opportunity. Yeah. I think that'd be a good spot for Cole Adams because, like I said, I just don't see him remaining as a feature piece of this offense, you know, past the halfway point of the season.
I sadly agree with you because I think Lotsia Brooks might just be water. Just so smooth. Yeah. So Cole, I think Cole, as a punt returner, I mean, think about what we did with punt returner. The last 2 years has been really not good. Mm-hmm. You had Kool-Aid, Muffin.
Every other punt.
Kool-Aid wouldn't commit. I mean, I love you, Kool-Aid, but just was like, oh, I could return this. Maybe. And last year, Ryan and Jalen and Mbakwe, you had the two freshmen, and they did fine, but it was just like.
Every time one of them, oh, God.
And, oh, my gosh, don't break Ryan's leg. Like
you know, you you got to have some stones to be a punt returner. I think Cole Adams has that, you know, fortitude about him. I think he would be the right guy for that job.
That's kind of what I would. Hey, man, no, you're not getting the reps you might want.
You got this shiny punt returner job. I know you love it, buddy.
And then I got Arian Bubba Hampton, number four on the depth chart, and that is nothing against Arian Hampton, but he got hurt. He got hurt at the end of the year last year in bowl practice. Not even really sure, even going to speculate or tell you. We saw him walk out of practice with a big old brace on his knee and haven't really seen much of him since. Obviously hopeful for him, but didn't have any real reason to put him any higher than the other three because of that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right call here. We just don't know what we have in him. You know, once we get into the season, obviously we'll find out a little bit more his health status, but it does not seem like we really have many updates in that department. So, he for now is where he is.
All right, what's more interesting to you, running back or tight end? We'll finish with the offense. We'll do defense tomorrow.
Let's go tight end.
Yeah, that was another spot where I had a really kind of
this one's a little weird
challenges.
Too.
Yeah, some big challenges. I'm just going to read you what I had, and you can kind of react to this. Yeah. U tight end, that's your kind of receiver. You're moving around. You're doing that sort of thing. Y tight end, inline blocker. So U tight end, I've got Josh Cuevas, 1. Danny Lewis Jr., 2. Brody Dalton, 3. Jay Lindsey, 4. Peter Knudsen, 5. And Marshall Pritchett, 6. And then blocker tight end Y, Jack Samarco, 1. Jaden Hobson, 2. Jay Lindsey, 3. And Brody Dalton, 4.
Yeah, you know, I don't really have any. I think this feels like a pretty. This feels like the way it's probably going to go. I think they brought Jack Samarco in to do exactly that job of being the blocking tight end. I think Brody Dalton is a guy who does have a little bit more upside as a receiver and is kind of a tweener type. So, yeah, have him being the, you know, kind of a secondary or third option at both of those spots is probably right where he slots in.
What's your my excitement for this group is 0.
Yeah, none of them really excite me that much.
Not to be rude to these young men, but
Danny
like
Lewis maybe has a bit more of the receiving threat than some of these other guys if he gets the opportunities. But no, I'm with you. I'm not overly excited about any of them. I think Jaden Hobson eventually could be our, you know, Robbie Oates replacement, our next, like, hey, this is our guy. We, you know, some football team's going to love this guy kind of player. But until that is seen, I'm not overly excited about any of these guys. None of them really jump off the page at me. I do like Marshall Pritchett. I talk about him a lot as a recruit. But
he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. Not going to get really many opportunities this year. I'm not really sure what the injury was. But
He had a big cast
thing on his leg at A-Day. So it looked like it was something fairly serious. Whatever it was, so I doubt he will be getting any opportunities this year.
All right, so is my excitement level at 0 because everyone was hurt in this room in spring? You had Jay Lindsey doing everything, and he was complimented by Ryan Grubb, but asked, hey, how's the tight end development? How did Jay Lindsey do without the tight ends? He's like, you mean all of them getting hurt? You played William Sanders at wide tight end, and I think William could do that, like a Kendall Randolph type. But is my excitement just 0 because these guys were all hurt?
I think it has a bit to do with it. I think had we seen Cuevas out there, we may have seen a bit of a improved receiving ability from him, just getting more opportunities, maybe with more consistent quarterback play, maybe, you know, more accurate quarterback play potentially. I do like his upside as a receiver. I think he's a bit more athletic than maybe people give him credit for. But again, it's not like he's a, you know, not like he's a, to talk about the Bears again, not like he's a Colson Loveland or anything like that. He's not that type of receiving threat. So it doesn't really jump off the page at me that much. I miss the days of, and you know, he was not good, but I loved Jahlil Billingsley. I always thought he was going to be awesome. Like, I just need another tweener wide receiver tight end hybrid to sink my teeth into because I love those prospects, even though they never pan out.
For me, it was OJ Howard. It was why aren't you using OJ? It's like
another great one.
Never, they only threw it to him in the national championship game. I guess that was the plan. Let's hide him, and then jailbreak.
Yeah, yeah, that's another prime example. I love those guys. For some reason, it's just nobody's really figured out how to use them the right way yet. But it only takes one.
All right, last thing on the offensive side of the football before we change gears here. Running back,
I think it's going to be a lot of running back by committee.
Yes. I think that you brought in Drelin Washington, who is on the Roll Tide roster as Dre. So we're shortening that, making it easy for us. Thank you very much. You bring a Drelin Washington, and people are like, why'd you do that? And, okay, you lost Justice Haynes, 1-1. Okay. You bring an A.K. Deere, top-end player out of Mississippi, and everything that you got out of the spring was work in progress. A.K. Deere, work in progress. Coming along, work in progress. Well, think about these two other freshmen, now sophomores, Kevin Riley and Daniel Hill. I think Daniel Hill is... Yeah, I think Daniel Hill is this is. I think Daniel Hill has the most potential this year to break out of this room. I think AK Deere probably has the single most talent in the room, but probably doesn't understand pass blocking at all.
That's what I was just gonna, is time to develop just code for he doesn't want to pass pro.
Yes, exactly.
It's got to be.
I think obviously you're going to start the season seeing Richard Young, Jam Miller, and Drelin Washington, kind of a three-headed monster. But I don't think it's going to be too long before you get Daniel Hill in there.
I would agree with that. I like Daniel Hill. Very excited about his potential. Like you just said, I think he is a guy that...
He looks like a guy that I don't want to tackle.
Yeah, I don't want to be... If he's running at me, I'm diving out of the way. Like I'm not dealing with that. I'm not even jumping. I'm not even diving at his legs. Like I'm diving out of the way and just letting him go onto the end zone. Hit pay dirt.
You're not diving like in front of his legs so he can juke around you.
No,
that would have been my move. Hey, coach, I dove at him. He just sidestepped me.
I'm coming off the field and I'm saying, coach, I care about my future. Thank you.
He just sidestepped me, coach. He was too fast. All right, let's look at Kevin Riley though.
Sure.
Tuscaloosa County High, Wildcat, going into his sophomore year. We love the local prospects.
Yeah.
What's Kevin Riley's future on this football team?
I am not sure, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, the word was fastest running back in the room.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That was it. That's period. I don't have much more for that. Now, he was fun, and County High, he was.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that he was ever... You know, at County High, I never saw him and thought that's the best player I've seen this year.
No, like I
in high school.
Yeah,
high school.
No, I
thought that's the best player on this field.
Yeah.
Whenever County High was playing someone, but in comparison to other players you've seen in other, I was like, I don't know if he's the best player I've seen this year.
Yeah, no, I didn't really get to. I don't even know. I might have seen one game in person of his. Maybe I don't even know. But yeah, I don't know where he fits in on this team, really. I do think the top-end speed is awesome as a running back to have that option. Maybe as a receiving threat out of the backfield kind of deal. Maybe he's a good rack guy. But I just don't know where his opportunities are going to come, because if that is the case where he is relocated to being the receiving back kind of guy, it's like, well, what are you going to do? Throw him on the field and just instantly tell the defense, hey, we're sending him out on a route. You know, I think you're going to be a little bit more dynamic than that to get reps, and I don't know that he has the other side of it.
All right, any other offensive notes you got? We'll save defense for tomorrow since we blew the first part of the show.
I mean, you know, we didn't really touch on quarterback. I think everybody kind of knows right now where it stands. Ty Stimson, if the season started tomorrow, he's got the job, but I'm not sure how happy the coaching staff would be about that. I think I still am in the camp that they are putting that out as a call to Austin Mack, really more Keelan Russell to come win this job.
Yes and no. I think that we've already made it to the point where he's starting against Florida State.
Probably.
But I think that what you have between now and fall camp is opportunities for Keelan Russell and for Austin Mack to close that gap and to create question marks for, again, how does that first series go? How does that second series go? How many series do you let him go 3 and out or 5 and out or whatever the case may be before you say, well, Keelan, get in there and see what you got. Austin, see what you got. I think that's where you are with this quarterback room, is that Ty Simpson has earned the start at Florida State, and I think that he is, at the minimum, earned the right to play that whole game if he plays well and you're winning.
Sure.
you know, once the offense goes into a tank and USC kicks a 52-yard field goal to go up 3-0, maybe you turn to the freshman.
That's a pretty good.
Wasn't it 52 yards that SC did? Like that, it was a bomb shot. Yeah.
That feels like much more fair way of putting kind of the stance I've had on Ty Simpson of he's done enough to win the job, you know, for that game. I don't think he's done enough to secure that job through a bad performance, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that he's earned himself enough grace to where if he goes out and plays bad, it's like, hey, it's okay, buddy. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. We'll get him next week. He goes out 2-3 and outs, like they might pull him right there and say yes. You know, I don't think he has much of a leash on him at all.
I think his leash is as long as he makes it, as long as he continues to play well. It's like, all right, you know, We're running fine. You know, when I yank my dog is when she's pulling way ahead of me and pulling me. When we're both jogging and everybody's comfortable, she doesn't get yanked. You have Matt Bormeister, 47-yard field goal against Alabama to go up 3-0. And then, boom, Ardarius Stewart, 39-yard touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts. It was like, well, enough of this. Let's give the freshman a shot. I think that's what you're going to end up with. Oh, Blake Barnett, you go a couple 3-and-outs, bud. What was this? All plays. I've got this right here.
He did not last long.
No. Oh, no. It was a field goal right on the first drive. No, you went punt, punt. Yeah, punt, punt, and then Jalen fumbled. And then punt, 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 and then Jalen touchdown.
Took Jalen a little bit. They gave Jalen a little bit more relief. I guess at that point, it's like, what else are we going to do after him?
Was it?
You had Cooper Bateman on the roster, I think. Yeah.
No. Like, figure it out. Just run, quarterback, run. All right, let's golly, I do not want to do this part, but we have to. We are going to shift gears after we tell you about Warren Tyron Auto.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community. Since then, and so thankful to be in the third generation, and we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
We appreciate Russ Warren and Warren Tyron Auto for sponsoring the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You can find them on those two great locations, just like Russ said, 15th Street and University Boulevard. Get you in and out and back on the road, back to your life. All right, we got to touch a very sensitive subject. And look, if you turn the program off right now because it's not something you want to hear about, that's fine. I hope I deal with this appropriately. That's my main goal here. All right, so tomorrow night, Alabama, the University of Alabama, gets put into a difficult position. Tomorrow night, the University of Alabama is hosting President Donald J. Trump and basically doing a commencement ceremony. It's a pre-graduation event.
Are they hosting him, or are they just not stopping him from showing up?
Yeah, there you go. I think that last Sunday, right, it was, I want to do graduation at Navy and Alabama. And the University of Alabama wakes up to it. It's like, oh, we got to figure this out. Yeah. I think they get put in a very difficult position. Obviously, the state of Alabama is a huge Donald Trump supporter. I'm not even trying to comment on support or not support, right?
Support who you want to.
So he feels great place to go to speak, have a rally, yada, yada, yada. Great. Mm-hmm. He put the university in a really challenging spot because look through the student population, look at the demographics of the population on campus. The University of Alabama has drastically changed. The University of Alabama has moved away from the state's politics because of the population. You bring Nick Saban in 2008, and you welcome everybody from Chicago, California, Texas, New York over the last 10 years, and now the out-of-state population outnumbers the in-state population. I don't know that the demographics on campus match the demographics of the state.
I would agree with that.
Basically, the only reason we're talking about this is because last night Nick Saban was added to the lineup. Nick Saban was added to the lineup to entice the crowd. Look, what was the way that I understand this is that on the Monday, the university says, oh, crap, I guess we're hosting Donald Trump or else we're going to be in big, bad trouble. And you could sit there and say, well, you should be in big, bad trouble and not host him. Okay, fair perspective. Or you can say, oh, you should welcome him with open arms. Okay, fair perspective. That's fine. What we want to do is recognize the challenging position that the university is in. That's my position, is very complicated, very sticky. Okay, so Monday comes. We got to host we need to host the president because we don't want any smoke. We don't want any, sure. any but we also have to kind of acquiesce to our student population, and it is graduation. The parents are coming. It's going to be a logistical nightmare. Yep. I think the university nailed it as far as we'll host you the night before and we'll open up tickets to graduates. This way the supporters can go and say, hey, President Donald Trump spoke at my graduation. And those that are not supporters can say, we didn't hear President Donald Trump at our graduation. President Donald Trump did not come to our graduation. And both people can have their own truth, and the relationship with the truth can be weird, just like it always is.
Sure.
I think that Nick Saban is trying to save the university. Not save. Trying to help the university. Save is way too far. Save is way too far. That's a very dramatic word. Trying to help the university avoid any drama. I think they're trying to keep this drama to a minimum.
Yep.
And what I have heard from people in the know is that the ticket sales have not gone very smooth. It's not sales. It's free. You can claim it. The free claiming of these tickets has not gone as well as maybe.
This free stuff is not flying off the shelves.
Right. And so the university, we don't want to have any backlash of any smoke of why didn't anybody show up? Let's make the event a little bit better. Maybe the pressure came from Washington to make sure the event is well-staffed. Well, I have no idea. But last night you get a lot of, oh, Nick Saban needs to stand up against Donald Trump, or good for Nick Saban for supporting Donald Trump. Either side, I'm acknowledging both ends. Mm-hmm. I think that an emotional reaction here, while I am having one myself, and I'm trying to quell it as much as I can, is an ignorant position, because I think that Nick Saban and the university is in an extremely challenging position. We want to just make as many people happy as we can without upsetting whoever, powers that be, funding, without upsetting our voting base, without upsetting potential future students.
If you think that Nick Saban is doing this for anything other than to just help the university out, I think you're sorely mistaken here. He is not coming here to make any sort of political statement one way or the other. I think he has been, like you've just laid out, asked whether it was with a monetary compensation or just, hey man, we need you. I think he has been asked to come help this event, and university gave him a lot. He gave the university a lot, and they just continue to have a working relationship together. I think he's just, helping out his buddy here.
So look, I hope if you're graduating this weekend, it goes the way you want it to.
That's what's most important.
If you're graduating, you want to go hear President Donald Trump. I hope you get to do that.
Yeah.
If you want to hear Nick say it, I hope you get to do that. If you don't want to hear that from that crew, I hope that you get to do that as well, and you get to enjoy the graduation you want the way you want it to be. It's going to be a very challenging weekend in Tuscaloosa with logistics, and Thursday is going to be a part of that. So just be aware of that if you're going out on your day. It's going to be wild.
Who's going to talk first?
President Bell, Stuart Bell.
Between Saban and Trump. Nobody cares about what Stuart Bell has to say, let's be honest.
Stuart Bell's opening the show.
No one's there for Stuart Bell.
Katie Britt is next.
I ask this because do you
hear Saban leave?
Do the people there hear Nick Saban and leave, or does the university? I have to imagine that you got one of, you're between a rock and a hard place here.
Yes.
You either run the risk of having Nick Saban speak before Donald Trump, which is probably what Donald Trump wants. I imagine he wants the last word to send everyone out into their evening. So you either acquiesce to that, and then you run the risk of, oh man, 75% of our crowd just left the moment Nick Saban walked off stage. Or you say, no, Donald, we're going to have Coach do the last word because insert whatever reason you can come up with. The university is in a bad spot here.
It just is super sticky. It's
just in a bad spot.
You're going to upset people.
Yeah.
We're upsetting people right now. I know that. If you're listening to us, I'm sure some of our listeners are, yeah, Joe, and some of our listeners are, you suck, Joe. Great. I accept that.
We are just trying to point out the pickle that the university has found itself in here.
Exactly. So I hope you enjoy your weekend. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. Oh, we got a comment, so I want to make sure we see this right. Tommy Tuberville coming. Oh, I don't know if Tommy Tuberville is coming, Jonathan. I know that what I was told was President Stuart Bell, Katie Britt, Senator Katie Britt, President Donald J. Trump, and former head coach Nick Saban. That's kind of what I've seen in the docket. And look, just hope that everybody. Oh my gosh! Hope that there's no dramatics. Yeah, that's my main thing.
Hope there's no drama, and like you said, I hope that every student that is graduating this weekend gets to come away from their graduation saying, "I got what I wanted this weekend."
Absolutely. Tomorrow will be Thursday. We'll talk to Katie Windham. Goodness gracious, Missouri soft. They swept Missouri. They swept Missouri over the weekend. First sweep for the ladies, and so they are wrapping up their season. We will get her perspective on the Bama depth chart. We'll talk Alabama defense. We'll look at the defensive depth chart tomorrow. You can read that depth chart again at BamaCentral.com. Look, I appreciate everybody who's listened to the show, watched the show. I appreciate everybody who has tolerated every topic. You can comment at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_. You can comment at Bama Central or leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Whew, we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.